down to brass tacks. Hello?
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
I'm a first-time caller.
Yes.
I'm an elderly person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a heart condition, and I suffer from high blood pressure. Last Friday, my clinic was not open, and I visited Sir Winston Scott, which was supposed to be a 24-hour service. I was met by a nurse that she was outside spraying hands and taking temperature. She asked me what I was there for. I was in pain. I tell her I was in pain. She did not listen to hear what type of pain, but she told me, go home, take paracetamol, don't come back, don't let her see me, don't let she see me down there again. Mr. Ellis, tears came to my eyes the way that that nurse treated me, because she didn't want to tell me these things, but she was in raw Belgian dialect, and it hurt me. I'm an elderly person. The Prime Minister and the health authorities say that when you're not feeling well, you should go to the doctor. I went to the clinic, was closed. And that is the way that she carried me on. You think that the elderly should be treated this way?
I agree with you that you should be treated that way. And I suspect that when you didn't ask her any questions, did you? When she said that she didn't want to see you down there again, were you given a chance to ask her why?
No, but I tell her that I am a heart patient. She tell me don't tell her, go to my clinic and tell them. And then she said that she has 6 months not to let me go into the clinic because I don't belong there. But it's a 24-hour service.
No, I mean, she's talking to you in circumstances where your clinic is closed. So if your clinic is closed, you're going to have to go to another clinic.
Thank you.
And I think that she appears, from what you are saying, to have overreacted. And really, she should have listened to you more carefully. From what you were telling me, I mean, there's more than one.
And she was so upset that she didn't even take my temperature. All she did was spray my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me don't come back. Don't let her see me back. Don't let she see me back down there. So if my clinic is closed, I cannot pay a doctor. What am I supposed to do? I am 70 years old. My husband is 74. If we are not feeling well, must we just stay in bed, pull the cover over us, hold hands and die?
Well, that's quite a picture. Cover up, hold hands in bed, and die.
And die, yes. Because I can't see the doctor, can't get attention.
Mm. Look.
I don't think that it was fair.
And I understand how you feel about it. I can't refute it based on what you've said. In all of this, we recognize that the healthcare workers are under a lot of stress as well. Huh? And that could influence how that person behaved. But the healthcare workers also have to take into consideration that patients are under a lot of pressure. And especially with this clinic or that clinic being closed because of COVID tests and all of that. You know, people that you wouldn't ordinarily see are going to come to you. So there's got to be a recognition that, you know, people are going to need your attention, and you don't want to create exactly the kind of reaction that you've had and the feeling that you've had. The question that I have to ask you is, since then, what have you done?
Well, eventually she let me go into the doctor, and Mr. Ellis, I was more sick than I thought because I was in so much pain. Even the medication could not stop the pain. I had to get injection. And she telling me go back home and take paracetamol.
No, but in all of this, You remember the fellow just now asked me about the well? If somebody threw you into a well and then sent a 10-foot rope, a 50-foot well, and sent a 10-foot rope for you, how you would feel about it? Now, that to my mind is the kind of analogy, because for all that she said to you, she allowed you to go in after all.
Yeah,
She
but she
didn't
said
tell
me
you.
don't come back.
But she told you to come back after she allowed you to go in.
No, she told
So,
me so before she
all
allowed
right,
me to go in.
before, but she allowed you to
Yes.
go in. All
Yeah,
right,
but she tell
because
me she has 6 months not to let me go in
yeah, but
because I
she
was
allowed
not for that clinic.
you in. However, I agree with you that how she carried you along would leave you feeling, feeling badly, and I understand that. But it's gonna take some give and take on all sides. This is not an easy experience that we are
I
going
know
through,
that, Mr. Ellis. I know
and
that.
therefore we're gonna get people overreacting, people with frayed nerves, people who have been overworked. You as a patient who you're suffering, there's an anxiety on your part. All of this is coming together in what is a genuine national crisis right now. And we just got to, when we talk about being our brother's keeper, when we talk about being in this together, this is really where the rubber hits the road in the everyday relationships. They tell me that once people are locked down, especially in small homes, you have a lot of problems. The police last time said how in the previous lockdown, life was busy for them, because people who would ordinarily get up and walk out their house when somebody got them vexed, or they had to deal with somebody that they couldn't get along with, they had to be in the same environment, sometimes a very close environment, having to put up with that. And again, this is how we're going to have to be forced to say, look, I got to grin and bear this, because there's no place to go. And if there's no place to go, then this friction and this fighting that's going to take place inside this house is really going to make life unbearable for everybody. So this is all part and parcel of it. I'm sorry to hear of what you've been through. I hope that is an example to other people out there as to what you can anticipate. And along with that is, how are we going to deal with it? What is it that we can do to ease the tension? All right. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning,
Welcome.
Lily.
Good
Morning.
morning. Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Okay, it's ironic that I got through just after that lady because I'm calling to speak regarding the social media posts about this racism thing that's supposedly going on. To see that, or I'm sure that I'm hoping or thinking that a nurse is our same color. And I'm thinking that sometimes we don't even like our one another. We don't treat our one another good. So then somebody else says something about us or call us a name. We do the same thing to each other. I know everybody's entitled to their own opinion and feelings, but I would like to ask, why are people getting aneurysms and high blood pressure over the social media posts? What makes us different from the gentlemen? When I heard the gentleman's behavior, make our behavior different from the gentleman's behavior. When I heard our people expressing themselves regarding what the gentleman said and calling him every name under the sun and what they would like to do with him. Our own people don't even like one another. We curse, kill, bat, bully, tell lies. We call one another some of the worst names you can think of. Huh? Some of us even got to the point now where we're bleaching because we're not happy with our own skin color. I walked the entire beach this morning, David. And when I'm walking, I try to say good morning to everybody I pass. 3/4 of my people did not even reply. Some of them turned their head and looking to see when they get in, approaching you. And the other quarter, the answer grunted. While most of the other color, if you want to call it that, were very pleasant. What is wrong with us? Just ignore what the gentleman said. Get on with our lives. He's getting the attention that he needs. Leave it, just, I know it's not easy for some people, but that's the way I feel about it.
Well, thanks for sharing your view.
All right. Have a good day.
Yeah, down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
How you doing, boy?
I'm okay, you know.
Good. Glad to hear. Now, there's two things I want to discuss with you this morning. One, the second one really I want to speak to you about concerning your surgical report this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But first, I must deal with this one first, huh? Now, while listening to your program, I think it was on Tuesday to be exact, I heard a statement, David, to be quite honest with you, that I honestly believe it outstripped any nonsense that was ever spoken by Donald Trump. And it all had to do with the closure of the small shops and indeed the mini marts. And this person told the moderator that people no longer line by small shops. They line by posh bars. You understand what I said here, David?
Mm-hmm.
They no longer line by small shops. People now line by posh bars. Is that our culture?
You tell them.
I mean, I was most amazed when I hear such a statement. And I want to say to Randall Callender that he was so far off target. I mean, our culture, David, is people always line the average individual in this country line by a small shop. And he was saying all this in defense of his statement that the small shops also sort of the mini mart should not be closed. So that was his defense. And I take very, very strong objections to those remarks. I mean, you know, I understand what he has people in this country are doing, and they're trying their uttermost best to protect the average individual in this country. And I believe you know as well as I do that you have I sympathize, don't get me wrong, I sympathize with a lot of the small shop owners and indeed the mini marts, because I know at this present moment they have to be hurting. However, you know that a lot of these small shops now, people just buy a couple of plywood sheets or the cement board and set up a small structure, and they will sell various items, even including alcohol. And that indeed is one of the reasons I believe why government take the steps to close those small shops. I'm concerned about it too, David, because to be honest with you, Mayor Mark here on Green Hill, I patronize our outlet on more than one occasion. For often, you know, it's my area. And that is a mini mart that service Green Hill, Mahaika, Green Hill, Mayor Road, Mahaika, sorry.
But that cannot be classified as a small shop.
There's a mini mart. That way, feel like one should be open as well. Even Lodge Terrace, Eden Lodge. You know, and Friendship Terrace as well. I believe that particular mini mart should be open because I can't left home and cross at Massey and buy a tin of milk. Or Packer, Black Packer.
Well, you need to come back to the objective of this whole lockdown is. The objective is to minimize the extent to which we are going out there and interacting with other people, whether it is in the small shop, the mini mart, or the supermarket. That's the ultimate goal. And I mean, we are standing by to see what is happening or what has happened overnight in relation to COVID deaths in Barbados. I anticipate that we'll be hearing something soon from the government. But the situation is not one to be sneezed at. It is very, very serious. And that is why, you know, a lot of people are sometimes oblivious to the magnitude of the problem until they see the deaths mounting. But, you know, there's a lot of spread out there already. So you've got to try. This lockdown is to try to stop it, to stem it.
I know. But you see, David, that's why I told you that I sympathize with the owners. And I understand we have field owners as well, too. So I am fully in support of the measures. But I just knew that as a, you know what I mean, something what he said concerning small shops and people living by posh bars are no longer living at small shops. But let me go to my another point. Now, your surgical report, David, mentioned about what the Trinidadian government is doing to the Rock Hard Cement Company.
Yes.
Morning. You know, tell me something. Are you really surprised that I mentioned, David?
No, because if Barbados were in a similar position, people that you would push for a similar approach.
Well, that's what I'm going to tell you. That's why you asked the question. I am not at all surprised with the stance that the government of Trinidad has taken against Rock Hard. Because this same Trinidadian government, I don't know if it was the only PNM, but that is a policy that those particular governments, whoever come to power in Trinidad, take against, especially Barbados. I can remember...
They're looking, at it in the context of they are against Barbados. They're going to tell you that they are for Trinidadians and for Trinidadian workers and Trinidadian cement company or the cement company that is in Trinidad, because you know it's owned by Mexico. That
exactly.
And TCL.
You know, hit the nail on the head, because I remember they do the same thing that they've been beverage here in Green Hill as well. They close down the operations, make the outlet here as just an distribution center, and they manufacture those drinks and send them back to Barbados. They do the same thing with the furniture manufacturers in Barbados, David. I can remember Go ahead.
It's amazing how 4 years can make quite a difference in their tone, because weren't you among those critical of the fact that Rock Hard Cement was being given the kind of support that it got from the former administration? Weren't you among those?
David, when you see justice, you must speak about justice.
Look, 4 years, boy, can make a lot of difference here. Jeez, David, I'm brave. Let me hear you talk, boy.
Behave yourself, David. Listen, man. Are you really angry about this matter, though? Because, David, to be honest with you, Trinidadian government take the same stance, and they're who actually destroyed the furniture manufacturers of Barbados.
Politics,
I can remember a whole some furniture went down, the manufacturers said, don't wholesale furniture in Trinidad. And the manufacturers and the people in Trinidad complained so bad that they stopped. As a matter of fact, the furniture remained in the containers in Trinidad until they shackle a piece. And all the manufacturers who take the materials and the furniture and send it to Trinidad had to bear all those losses. And that is the same stance as I mentioned previously to you, that the Trinidadian government always seems to be taking against Barbados manufacturers. And I believe the government of Barbados needs to look at it, even if you have to get tick for tack, because they can't continue to do that to the manufacturers, David. I thank you.
But let me ask you something. Is that cement, Rock Hard Cement, Barbadian made cement?
It come from Colombia, I think. They import it?
No, it come from Turkey.
Turkey?
Yes.
Once
you're making the argument, I hope that you got your facts right.
Yeah, but I honestly believe that. I think the stance in spite of what you told me, I honestly believe the stance that the government has to take against the Trinidadian government as well. I mean, it may be a cement war or furniture war, whatever, but you need to do something to protect the manufacturers in Barbados. Full stop.
Well, I'm just making the point here. As far as I know, that is not Barbadian manufactured cement.
But David, the cement in Barbados, we get a cheaper price from Rock Hard now than we get from TCL here in Trinidad in Barbados.
Well,
even though
let's
it's
put it the other way.
Here.
If you discovered that some item that Trinidad was selling us was actually made in China, but Trinidad was only the middleman, you're not going to describe it as made in Trinidad.
Not at all. But David, my point is the fact remains. So long as getting a reasonable price to compare with whatever or wherever it may, I am fully in support of it.
Yes, I'm glad to see that 4 years later, this is where you've come.
Right, I know you were coming up.
This is Dr. Brastax. It's 10:53. Hello?
Hello, hi. Good morning, David.
Morning. How are you?
I am fine. I'm fine. But I said, they can say that David come up just number tall boy, man. You pet that curveball or a yorker.
I just got good enough memory.
Anyhow, that was good.
He enjoyed it. He enjoyed it too.
I enjoyed it more than him. It was clinically done though. Look, David, I want to agree, however, though, with the same tall boy in respect to what Wendell Callender would have said. Last he was on with the moderator. I can't remember which moderator. I think it was Peter Wickham. And I want to also agree with Tallboy about the Myanmar shop there in Green Hill. Myanmar.
I want you all advertising Myanmar no more, man.
That's enough.
I know the people well and I wish you well, but my goodness, we can't use the program that way.
Yeah, but a lot of people that who don't go to Massey go to there, you know, go there and.
But you're still on in the same vein. Look, I telling you, you know, I can get the sales. I tell the advertising manager to send the bill to you and Tallboy. You know.
All right. Okay. Now, David, I would like to know, though, before I go there, from where I sit here and receiving the news last night about the Chief Justice and the Governor General, I want to wish them well, and I hope that they're soon back on the job. My prayers and thoughts is with them, you understand, because we still need those type of people around in terms of integrity and high morals, and both of those people I can vouch well, Pat more so, because I would say I had a few dealings with, I think
beyond that though,
mm-hmm.
what that situation exposes to us
mm-hmm.
is that, how serious the COVID situation is in Barbados.
And how
vulnerable everybody is in Barbados to it.
Right.
And only the people who can create a little bubble and stay in that bubble can feel secure. Everybody else is exposed in a very serious way right now. And, I mean, that's the story that came through to me. People at all levels in Barbados are vulnerable right now.
Right. Over and above all, COVID don't discriminate, right?
Well, you know, if there is one thing that practices equality in Barbados, it is COVID. Mm-hmm. Well, Barbados, as you know, is a country where it is who you know, it is who you're connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not matter whether you're black, red, or white. That is how it works. COVID is the great leveler in that regard.
Good. Now, let me move on now. Still in the same vein of COVID, right? I want to know from you, or if you could find out, when the team from UE, those young people that volunteer in the service to assist the COVID unit to carry out these tests and assist with screening and identifying persons in the neighborhood. All right? I want to know from you if you could find out when they would be in Richmond Hall in St. Thomas, because I want to be first in line.
So you don't call you a parliamentary representative?
No, I call you. I just call to say that I am in full support of that team from UE, and I hope that people in these neighborhoods give those people, those young people, the fullest cooperation, because they need it. They don't need the door slamming in the face, and they don't want the, and I don't think
no,
the lies that
they don't need it.
Right.
They don't need it as much as we do.
Exactly.
We need it.
Exactly. So I just this call is for, is really in support of the effort that and the responsibility that the UE team come together to help wrestle this monster to the ground. So I hope, David, that people adhere and give these youngsters the fullest cooperation. That's basically what I really want to say.
Okay, sir. Have a good day. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Morning.
Hi. First off, I'm glad that the gentleman called in just now to support the fences that will be coming around to the neighborhood. And I'm glad that you shut down the number two caller that was trying to persuade that it will got a negative impact, because it is this time that we need people to come around and actually know what really how household feels about the situation, that the government will got more intel on how to deal with it further if it continues, which we don't know when it will end. I don't know why people will want to come and advocate that it ain't the best time right now and stuff like that, and come in saying that the people should be wearing two masks. When you go to the people, you don't have to stand up under them for them to ask you questions. So, you understand, you stand away, you wear your mask, you stand away outside because you're going out in the public. You're dealing with people in the public, so you wear your mask and make sure you're secure. That is one that I agree with. You need more intel on how to deal with it, how Beijing feel about the whole situation. And second, I agree with you. This morning, when I went for my IG, the first thing that greeted me was the children and the bus. That hurt me to the core as a Beijan to see that so long we have been waiting for relief. And this is the first time that I think the buses came off the assembly line.
Somebody corrected me and suggested that it's not one of the electric buses, but it is one of the newer of the older buses that we had.
No,
but in any case,
in the clip,
it looks like an electric bus to me.
In the clip, there are three slides. There's an electric bus. There's a vehicle that belongs to the transport board. I think that's electric too. And there's an old bus. The new bus, left side, right side window by the driver's side, was completely licked out to the same attachment. And remember, the new buses came down with their own cameras also. So the video.
Precisely. It looks like it came from the bus, from the vehicle itself.
Correct.
Yeah.
It hurt me to the core to see that we would want that. I know we can't blame the parents, but you got to hold the parents responsible as well as the children.
I hope we find them.
I hope we find them.
And some example must be made of them too.
My thing is, I feel they should be pecking a hole till the hands get sore, that I would never think about doing it again. My 6-year-old son saw the video, and he asked me, Daddy, why them do that? My 6-year-old looked at me and said, Daddy, you know what's happening to them? Not saying it is right, but you know, children think outside differently. You ain't gonna say, well, like me, they should hold a peck and think that hand to the gate. So we got to stop this vandalism. This is our country. If we don't take care of it, no one else will take care of it. And for how long will we stand up for this? When the two youngsters slap the people, some mere excuses saying, well, blah, blah, all about the line, but it is still wrong. That could result in death. We cannot keep making excuses. Even if my child grew up under my care and did something like that, I will have to be held responsible. And you can't say that they can give them a fine cost, and they can't even pay it. That bus new. We don't know the cost of the window. We don't know if it got to come in from somewhere. We got to stop. We got to take responsibilities for our actions, our children's actions. And the next thing is the point you made about the white guy, Mr. Corbyn.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows us the underlining racism that we have, or the hatred. And they don't really call it hatred, because for me, if you hate something, you will never deal with it. If I hate a black person, I would never go wrong a black person. I am black, so that's what I'm saying. But you know, they still news, they got the hatred inside. And removing Nelson, you can see that there's still hatred inside. you remove the certain part, but still the feeling is still there in people.
Just well, if you know, you're hostile, look, you there are